This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Science communication is the practice of sharing scientific findings with non-scientists. Examples range from Leonardo da Vinci's anatomical drawings and John Audubon's Birds of America book to modern ones like David Attenborough's Netflix specials or Neil deGrasse Tyson's physics podcasts. Knowing the importance of this kind of communication, the Bureau of Land Management has been running an annual artist-in-residence program since 2017. Artists in the program are encouraged to interpret through their craft the biodiversity found on public lands in ways that lead to a deeper understanding of them and hopefully an impulse to protect them. This year, the BLM's Medford District selected Portland-based science illustrator Serena Rochelle for the two-week residency at Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. Serena's vivid work includes an oil-on-canvas of bright blue chrysanthemums and a sepia-toned cat painted with clay collected from her hiking boots. I visit Serena at Hyatt Lake in the northern corner of the monument, about 20 miles east of Ashland. When I arrive, Serena's sitting with her sketchbooks and watercolors at a picnic table outside a travel trailer the BLM is loaning her. A kayak that's just been delivered leans against a nearby tree. Later, she'll use it to explore the coastline of the peninsula she's staying on. This is where all her work begins, paying close attention to plants and animals in their natural habitat. I ask her what the BLM asked her to document as this year's Artist in Residence.
So the prompt was very open. I've just gotten to pick what speaks to me, which is mostly botanicals and a bit of the general landscape. It's very much a process-driven process for me, being in the environment and seeing what I'm drawn to, which I mean, flowers is an easy one because there are these little gorgeous pops of color everywhere that I'm just drawn to. Sometimes landscapes, water is definitely a big one. Wherever there's water, I gravitate towards.
So describe where we are now.
So right now we're at Little Hyatt Lake. I found this little area hiking a portion of the PCT my second day here. And it has gorgeous wildflowers and a little lake nearby and meadow nearby. But we're standing in front of this dying giant tree in the middle of this field. And it's covered in moss and these gorgeous winding branches.
So would you take a picture of a detail of this tree, like one of the branches, and then go back home and render it the best you can on paper?
Yeah, I want to come and sit under this one specifically, and then as the day gets longer and I've gotten the base of my image down, I'll do details from my phone with photos collected.
Okay. Ooh, coming up to some nice wildflowers here.
So yeah, one of the wildflowers that's really caught my eye has been the trillium. I'm used to them just being white, and out here they go from white to this like fuchsia purple and every stage in between. So I definitely want to do a piece on those and the different colors of all of them.
We settle in back at the campground and I ask about how she got her start in art.
I feel really fortunate enough that I have been supported in art making my entire life. There are pictures of me in a high chair and there's paint everywhere but the piece of paper in front of me. I am coated in it. So I just always got to pursue art. It wasn't until college that I kind of did that questioning of whether art is a real thing you can do or not. But I was always, you know, in every yearbook, the artistic kid, the most likely to become an artist, always voted that. So it's just always been a part of me, and I'm really thankful that my family supported that.
And did you study it in college formally?
I did. I spent my first year kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do. And then I realized that I, for my soul, needed to pursue art academically. So I did my major in fine art and a minor in anthropology. And I did mostly printmaking and painting with my major.
And describe your art today. You have an Instagram account. So what might we see there?
It's going to be a lot of what I call science illustration, what's widely seen as science illustration art. I like to illustrate things hyper-realistically, so that's what led me to science illustration specifically. I love abstract art. I love people who can do abstract art. It is not for me. I end up going into so much detail that it just ends up being these hyper-realistically rendered images anyways.
So that brings up a question. Some people might ask,
Well, in Darwin's day, it's fine, you know, at the Galapagos. But why now, when there's photography, what is the merit of drawing something hyper-realistically?
So I think the merit of drawing something hyper-realistically is you get to decide, one, the best way of the creating the average of whatever species you're drawing is. I think of how many times I try and take a picture of a flower, and I think I've gotten a great picture until I get home, and I'm like, you know, that wasn't the best. And maybe the petals don't bend out the way correctly that I want them to, or it could just be done better. And so I think, especially with identifying species specifically, it's really nice to have an illustration where all of those pieces that make a species identifiable can be illustrated correctly and accurately. So there's a lot of times where I'll take an image of something and I'll get home, and once I'm home, I'll realize that it's not the best representation of its species. And so with science illustration, being able to illustrate something, you're able to make sure that all of the identifiable characteristics that mark that specific species can be represented in the final piece.
A reminder that you're listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. Today's topic is the BLM's Artist Residency Program. I'm Vanessa Finney, and I'm talking with the current artist in residence at the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, science illustrator Serena Rochelle.
How did you get educated on scientific illustrating as part of your academic program?
So my first notice, or the first time that anybody told me about science illustration, was my high school art teacher, and he had mentioned that he had a friend who had to draw flies over and over and over again to create the best example of the most average example of that species of fly. And I was like, that's weird, but I got, but also kind of cool, and it fascinated me. And I came back to that concept maybe my junior or senior year of college, and that's when I found that. So I went to school, I did my undergraduate at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and they used to have a program there, the science illustration program, and it had actually moved across the bay to California State University, Monterey Bay. So my senior year, I ended up applying to that, and I wanted in so bad, and I'm so glad that I got in. It's a one-year certificate program in science illustration specifically. And so there's 16 people that get admitted to it, and I think that it's a boot camp of science illustration. It was definitely a life-changing experience just getting to be part of that niche group.
What about the other students? Do people come from all around the country, around the world?
Absolutely from all over the world. They come to this program specifically. What I found fascinating was my year, it was everybody except for me had a major in science. I was the only one that came in with a major in art, because science illustration is definitely the combination of those two. And so I got to learn from my more science-inclined peers their approach to illustrating versus my art approach to illustrating science.
What are some things that you were taught about the history of scientific illustration?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think a big part of it is the question of, well, why draw it if you can photograph it? And just kind of continuing to show that illustration does hold a part in capturing our world around us as a big part in those details that I mentioned earlier. One of my favorites is H. Isabel Adams. She was a botanical illustrator in England. Maria Sibyl was also a pretty fascinating female science illustrator. She did, again, a lot of botanicals, but she also included pollinators in her pieces. Darwin is a classic one. Just these early science illustrators that really set the groundwork for this field. And I mean, I'm obsessed with their art, which is pretty much why I pursued this direction with my own artist. I was like, well, I'm fascinated with it. How do I make that too?
So at home, do you have lots of framed science illustrations from other artists?
I do. A lot of them are like old calendars that I've gotten that are out of date now, so I've taken and framed the pictures of them. My art space is surrounded by them because I like to use them as inspiration.
Okay, so illustrator and fangirl.
Yes, exactly.
What's rewarding about this work?
I find it the most rewarding when, one, I get to capture something accurately, and then that gets to be used for the public to see and to create a conversation about conservation, about the species that we get to share this earth with. I find it the most satisfying when my art gets to be used for conservation and conversations. And that sounds so cheesy, but that's, I mean, that's really what it is.
Yeah. That's also what the BLM has in mind. John Dewey is the agency's interpretive specialist at the monument.
Well, I'll start by saying in general, science illustration is amazing, an amazing learning tool because it creates idealized images of species or even scenarios that are difficult or impossible to photograph. And it can focus on the important distinguishing features of those species, and it creates a product that is, you know, just wonderful to learn and teach with. The BLM and Cascade Siskiyou National Monument in particular, we're really interested in science illustration because it helps create awareness of the biodiversity that we have at the monument. When you go to the monument, it's a little bit overwhelming. The biodiversity, there's so many different plants and animals, it's a little bit hard just to take it all in at a glance or even in a photograph. However, if we can take these species and pluck them out figuratively from the environment and illustrate them, then we can create not just awareness, but emotional connections with the public, and ideally that will lead to stewardship.
Serena will make two such connections with the public the weekend of June 7th.
So I understand about midway through your residency, your two-week residency here, you're going to be giving a presentation to the public at the Ashland Co-op Community Room. So tell people about what they can expect to see there.
Yeah, so this Friday, the 7th, I will be getting to talk about my art, kind of how I got here and what I'm working on here, which has been mostly a lot of botanicals. I've been observing some of the birds, although I haven't started drawing any yet. And I will be showing what I've gotten to work on so far and what I plan on working with, because the talk will be halfway through my residency, so I will have another week afterwards to keep making art. So it'll kind of be a checkpoint. This is what I've made, and this is what I'm planning on making.
Serena will also offer an artist's workshop at her Hyatt Lake campground on June 8th. Here's John Dewey to describe it.
Oh, it's going to be great. We have an artist workshop. It'll be capped at 20 people. I should just say it's capped at 20 people, and there's still room. So go to cascadesiskiyou.org. That's the Friends of Cascade Siskiyou National Monument's website, and sign up. We're going to be meeting at Hyatt Lake. There's going to be some supplies provided, and we're going to spend about 3 hours with Serena as she instructs us how to illustrate nature or how to create scientific illustrations. It's just going to be a nice time. We have just picnic tables and camp chairs set up and our simple watercolors and sketching supplies. So it should be really great. We're hoping for great weather, and it's going to be up there 11 to 2, and just again, folks will need to register just so we have enough supplies to go around.
Back in the field, Serena leads me from the meadow to a small waterfall emptying into a pool spanned by a wooden bridge. She tells me the role of science illustrator is a constant conversation with nature of observing and learning. And in fact, finding different colors of trillium wasn't her only surprise. Just a few days into her residency, she's overjoyed to find there are wild orchids in the area with vibrant fuchsia petals and a scent like a rose. We head to her car as she stops along the path to look more closely at a leaf or to take a picture of a tree. So I notice you have a bumper sticker there. I'm headed home to do arts and crafts.
Yeah, that's my newest sticker. I love it. Well, it's just kind of silly, but also even being more professional artist, arts and crafts are not necessarily taken as seriously historically as women's work, as women's art.
But here you are advancing science.
Yes, with my arts and crafts.
Perfect.
Serena Rochelle presents her work at 5 p.m. tonight at the Ashland Food Co-op Community Center. You can also find her on Instagram at Serena_Rochelle. That's R-I-C-H-E-L-L-E. I'm Vanessa Finney, and you've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. You can hear this and other episodes at jeffexchange.org or wherever you get your podcasts.